And it literally means to copy the actions, patterns, mannerisms of speech. Excuse me while I put my digital on. And it literally means to mimic or to imitate. And so we saw a few weeks ago that when the Shunammite woman experienced loss, her young boy died, she experienced transformation, received her boy back to life again, because she did something that the widow woman from Zarephath had done decades before. In other words, she did what the other woman did, and she got the same result. She knew the story, she'd heard it preached and taught about how Elijah had raised her son from the dead. And so when she experienced the same thing, she did the same thing that the widow woman did in Zarephath and got the same result. And so we see a pattern all throughout the Scripture. And so the Bible is telling us in Hebrews chapter 6 that we are not to be slothful. There again, the Greek word nothros, and the word means to be lazy, to be slothful, but it also means to be figuratively stupid. And I know that's harsh language, but maybe that'll wake some of you up. I often tell people in life that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. The wheel was invented a long time ago. All you have to do is use the technology and the things that are available to us. Same thing is true in life. We don't have to reinvent transformation. Transformation is available to each and every one of us. All we have to do is follow the roadmap, if you will. Now, this past week, I spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh. My nephew, Amir, got married, and so I had the honor and the privilege of marrying my nephew and his bride, Erica, and had a beautiful ceremony at the Phipps Conservatory in Pittsburgh, which is their botanical gardens. And you know, it was an outdoor wedding, and behind the fountain where I married them, you can see the University of Pittsburgh Cathedral of Learning Tower in the background. Now, I grew up south of Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh has changed quite a bit since I was a kid. And so I depended heavily on my navigation system, my GPS. It's an electronic map. Because if I was going to get from my hotel to where the reception was, or if I was going to get from my hotel to where the rehearsal dinner was, I needed a map. Now, I could probably be bullheaded and say, which direction is it? You know, just point the way, I'll find it. Well, I may not have made it. Well, the interesting thing is God has laid out a roadmap for us. All we have to do is follow it, do what they did, act like they acted, say what they said, and we can experience transformation just like they did. And so don't try to reinvent the wheel. God's already laid out a map for us, a pattern for us to follow. And that's literally what the Scripture says in Hebrews 6:12. Don't be figuratively stupid, but be imitators of those, notice this now, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We talked about faith last week. The woman with the issue of blood experienced transformation because she heard of Jesus and she said, literally she was saying, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Faith is released with words. And your faith needs your voice. I've often said this, if your faith's not talking, your faith's not working. If your faith's not talking, your faith's not working. But notice this passage says, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is a very important key. Patience is necessary to experience transformation. In other words, your faith needs patience to work. Now, patience brings into play an element that all of us have to deal with and all of us have to manage, and that element is time. I had a pastor years ago who said, if you want to have a successful life, you need to learn how to manage three things: time, people, and money. And if you do a poor job in any of those areas, it'll dramatically impact your life. Time, people, and money. Now, let's talk about time. Time is something that all of us need to manage properly if we're going to experience transformation or the fulfillment of God's promise. Now, with reference to faith, remember what Jesus said this: therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He said that in Mark 11:24. After he just used a fig tree as an illustration. We talked about the fig tree a couple weeks ago. Jesus answered a tree that had no mouth, no tongue, and no ability to talk, but yet he answered it. And that tree also had no ears, but when he spoke to it, it heard his words and died. And Jesus used that as an illustration to teach his disciples and us about how faith works. Faith is released with words. Your faith needs your voice. If your faith's not talking, your faith's not working. But now we have to deal with the element of time. When you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. Well, the question always arises, what do you do from the time that you believe that you receive when you pray and the time that you have? Well, the Bible tells us that we are to offer thanksgiving. In all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And so very simply, when you believe that you receive when you pray, you continue to thank God for the answer. Well, it didn't happen overnight. That's okay. God said it's yours. Continue to thank him for the answer. Well, a week went by, Pastor Bill, and I didn't see anything different. That's okay. God heard you when you prayed. Continue to thank him. You believe that you received. Thank God for the answer. Well, it's been 2 years. That's all right. God heard you when you prayed. Do you believe you receive when you pray? Continue to thank him for the answer. See, we have to learn how to manage that element called time. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. Let's talk about a man named Joseph. And I want to show you in an illustrative manner how to properly manage this thing called time and how to deal with the stuff that happens in the interim. How many of you know life would be great if we didn't have to deal with stuff? If we didn't have to deal with disappointment? If we didn't have to deal with some people? If we didn't have to deal with heartache? If we didn't have to deal with pain? If we didn't have to deal with disappointment? If we didn't have to deal with loss? It would be great. But such is the human condition that all of these things come into play. But if we will follow the roadmap, we can navigate through those things and experience the fulfillment of God's promise. Remember where we began. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, that you may have it, enjoy life, and have it to the full till it overflows. And that is God's promise for each and every one of us. But many times we have to deal with stuff. And if we're not careful, the stuff that we deal with in life can upset our apple cart, if you will, and get us off track. Now, go to Genesis chapter 37. And we all perhaps know the story. Some of us may not. But notice what the Bible says in Genesis 37 about this young man named Joseph. We'll start with verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the land was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. Now in this dream, he saw sheaves that were bound together in the field, and all of the other sheaves bowed down to his. And his brothers really hated him after he told them that. Notice verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And it was told to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him, spoke to him sharply, and said to him, What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down ourselves to you, to the earth? And his brothers envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now that simply means his father didn't like what he heard, but he kept it in the back of his mind. Now the reason he kept it in the back of his mind was that God had dealt with him through dreams. And so he had an idea that perhaps God is speaking to my son. Now, here's another reason why Joseph was hated by his brothers. Joseph was at that time the only child of Rachel. Jacob had several wives. The others were children of his other wives. So that's one reason why they didn't like him. And so after he had shared this dream with them, they conspired to kill him. And they had planned it, and a day came when they were out feeding sheep, and his father said to him, I want you to go look after your brothers. And so he headed out, and they had hatched a plot to murder their brother. And then one of the brothers said, you know, we really shouldn't do this. Don't kill him. We don't want his blood on our hands. But why don't we just throw him in a pit? Let nature take its course. If he dies, he dies. And so that's what they did. When he came to check on him, they took that fancy coat that his father had made for him and threw him in a pit with no food and no water. And then one of the brothers said, you know, it's really not right. I mean, why should we do all this and kill him? We ought to get something for him. Why don't we sell him as a slave? And just so happens, some Arabs were coming by, and they pulled him out of the pit, and they sold him as a slave. And he ended up in Egypt. Now, here's something that I want you to see. Turn with me again back to Genesis chapter 37. And I want to show you something here, and we'll spend a little time with this. Verse 19. He's going now to check on them. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer is coming. Come now, therefore, and let us kill him and cast him into some pit, and we'll say that some evil beast devoured him. Notice this that said next, And we shall see what will become of his dreams. Notice they didn't hate Joseph per se because of Joseph. They hated that dream. And the same thing is true today. God has placed on the inside of each and every one of us vision. What is vision? Vision is purpose seen. He has a purpose for each and every one of you. He has a dream that he's placed in each and every one of us. And we can't discount them. Don't discard them, because many times that's God revealing to you his purpose for you. And you need to go after that thing and pursue that thing. And in this case, listen to me carefully now, Satan wanted to stop the dream from coming to pass. You might say, but Pastor Bill, it wasn't the devil, it was his brothers. Yes, it was his brothers, but that's what the devil does. He uses people many times. Remember when Paul wrote about his ministry? And he said, because of the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, comma, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. The word buffet, kalafidzo, means to rap with the fist, to deal blow after blow after blow. Well, Satan didn't personally try to fight with the Apostle Paul, but everywhere Paul went, he stirred up people. And the people persecuted him at every turn. And he talked about all of the things that he'd gone through and all of the things that he'd experienced. So what was his thorn in the flesh? It was the messenger angel of Satan sent to deal blow after blow, but he did it through people most of the time. I mean, read after the man's life, any place he went. He either had revival or a riot. Many times he had both. But he stirred up the people to come against this man. And that's what happened to Joseph. And so he ends up being sold into slavery and ends up in Egypt. Now, here's what I want you to know. Many times God gives us a dream, gives us a vision. We understand His purpose for our life. And then disappointment comes. Tragedy strikes. Things happen that we don't necessarily want to deal with. Now, Joseph, 17 years old, here's another lesson you can learn, shares his dream with his brothers. Sometimes it's not wise to share the dream that God has put in your heart with everybody. Everybody can handle it. You with me? And so jealousy, envy, and all of this fleshly stuff is stirred up now. Joseph did nothing wrong, but now he ends up a slave. Well, he happened to be sold to one of the military commanders in the Egyptian army, a man named Potiphar. Potiphar was captain of the guard or captain of the host. He had a very high-ranking position in Egypt. And so Joseph is now working as a slave in Potiphar's house. Here's something I want you to notice. Joseph continued to prosper in Potiphar's house. And he got to the point where Potiphar trusted him with everything in his household. He said, Joseph, you manage my household. You take care of everything. And I know I won't have to worry about it. And Potiphar prospered. Now, what happened to the dream? It looks like it got derailed. I mean, here he has a dream, he's doing the right thing, and he ends up being sold off as a slave. But I want you to notice something. Go down to verse, let's go over a little bit. Go over to chapter 40. Well, let's go back to chapter 39. I want you to see something. Joseph never stopped doing the will of God. Amen. That's important to know. Amen. Now, let me take a little pause here and share with you the three principles that we've talked about so far to experience transformation. In order to experience transformation, you have to know, number one, God will use you and what you have. You don't need something that you don't have in order to be transformed or experience transformation, number one. Number two, to experience transformation, hear the Word of God and do it. Amen. Whatever God says to you, do it. Whether He speaks to you through the Scripture or He speaks to you by His Spirit, whatever He says to you, do it. Number three, release your faith with your words. Amen. I've said it several times this morning. Your faith needs your voice. And if your faith's not talking, your faith's not working. And And so Joseph was doing all of these things. And I can show you that he was. Notice, we're still in chapter 39. Verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And we know what happened. Potiphar's wife wanted to have sex with him. And he refused. Now, notice why he refused. He didn't refuse because he was afraid he'd get caught. He refused because he lived a life of principle. Notice verse 9. We'll go back to verse 8. Genesis 39:8. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master has given me everything in the house and has committed all that he has to my hand. There is nobody in this house greater than me, neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? His motivation for refusing was not, I might get caught. His motivation was, no, this is wrong. I can't do this wickedness and sin against God. Listen, Joseph was living his life by principle. Even after disappointment came, he kept doing the Word of God. Are you with me? I've seen it many times in life. People experience disappointment, they experience loss, they experience pain, and somehow they get twisted and become deceived and listen to the voice of the enemy who says, God did this to you. If God loved you, you wouldn't have gone through this. If God was real, you wouldn't hurt like this. All of those statements are false. And what happens is many times people listen to the lies of the enemy and they stop doing the Word of God. And they figure, well, I've experienced loss. What the heck? You know, may as well go full bore. You know what I mean? Well, Joseph, even after experienced disappointment, even after he was sold as a slave, kept doing the Word of God. Now, let me fast forward a little bit. Because of her false accusation, Joseph ended up in prison. And he ended up in the prison where the king's enemies ended up. Now, it tells us something here about Potiphar. Potiphar realized that he wouldn't be as prosperous as he was if Joseph had not been in his household. And I really believe, I can't prove this, but I really believe that Potiphar knew his wife. And he knew Joseph. And he really didn't believe that he tried to rape her. Because if that was the case, he would have had him executed. But he didn't. He sent him to prison. Listen, you may have experienced disappointment in your life. You may have experienced loss. Things didn't go right. I mean, Joseph, number one, sold as a slave. Now, all of a sudden, he's doing the right thing, causing this man to prosper. Falsely accused, ends up in jail. Well, guess what? God's grace didn't stop in the life of Joseph. And Joseph did not become discouraged. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. So he kept doing the Word of God where he was in the prison. And the head of the prison realized, boy, there's something about this guy. Everything that he touches comes out well. And so Joseph got to the point where he's running the prison. And so the Pharaoh had sent two of his closest aides to prison, his butler and his baker. And while in prison, both of these men had dreams and had no idea what these dreams meant. So they happened to share them with Joseph, and Joseph said, oh, I can help you with that. I know exactly what they mean. So the butler told him his dream, the baker told him his dream. So he told the butler, here's the interpretation of your dream. In 3 days, you'll be back in the palace. And the butler, his interpretation was quite different. He said, in 5 days, he's going to cut your head off. But he told the butler, when you get to Pharaoh, tell him about me. Help me out. I've been falsely accused. Get me out of here. Remember me. And he said, yes, yes, I'll remember you. Guess what he did? He got out and forgot the guy. Years went by. He's still languishing in prison. Listen, how was he managing this thing called time? God gave him a dream, but now he's experienced disappointment. Now he's experienced loss. Now he's been hurt by people. Listen, just because you experience loss doesn't mean the dream died. Just because you experience disappointment doesn't mean the dream died. All of us experience unpleasant things in life. And if you're not careful, those things can cause you to miss out on God's best. Because now you become focused on what happened to you. Do you imagine if Joseph had been that way? Angry at his brothers, angry at Potiphar's wife, angry at the butler and the baker. He had just cause to be a bitter person. And many times in life, bad stuff happens. And the first thing we want to do is try to affix blame. How come this happened? Well, because you live on the earth, that's why. Well, what did I do wrong to deserve this? Probably nothing. Joseph didn't do anything wrong. He was doing the right thing. And yet trouble came. And so many times things happen to us. But how do we deal with them? Do we let go of our dream? Do we become bitter and angry? You know, one of the saddest things that I've ever seen in life as a person and as a minister is people who've been hurt and wounded in life, and they stop. They never progress. They never grow because they never let it go. They never progress. They never grow because they never let it go. Joseph obviously made a decision to forgive his brothers.
Amen.
Long before this.
Right.
Joseph obviously made a decision to forgive Potiphar's wife. And I'm sure he had to make a decision to forgive the butler and the baker. I mean, unfortunately, the baker was gone. But the baker knew about it. So years went by. And then one day, Pharaoh had a dream and couldn't figure it out. Now, let me say this about dreams. Does God speak to us, Christian people, through dreams? Yes. But here's the difference between a dream that the Lord will give you and the dream that needs interpreted. Because many times Christian people, you know, so often we don't study. We take things, we throw them in a pot and mix it up. It becomes Christian soup. You know, and so you got Christian people think they have the ministry of interpreting dreams. The only people in the Bible who needed their dreams interpreted were ungodly people. Whenever God gives a believer a dream, when he wakes up, he knows exactly what to do. Amen? You don't have to have your dreams interpreted. Well, Pastor Bill, I had a dream. It was weird. What does it mean? I'll tell you what it means. Don't eat what you ate before you went to bed that night anymore. Because it didn't do well with you. If God gives you a dream, when you wake up, you will know exactly what to do. Amen? Now, Pharaoh had this dream. And he didn't understand it. You know, it had to do with cattle and had to do with crops and healthy cattle being eaten up by skinny cattle and a stalk of corn that was nice and healthy and vibrant being devoured by another stalk of corn that was emaciated. What does that mean? So he calls in all the Egyptian magicians and all of the soothsayers and all of these things, and none of them could figure out this dream. Now, the butler remembers this guy in the prison who helped him with his dream. And now he's like many of us, oh, man, oh, I forgot. I forgot this guy. I hope he's still there. I hope he's still doing well. So he tells Pharaoh, hey, I know a guy who can interpret your dream. He said, who is he? He says, a man named Joseph. He's in the prison. He said, go get him. So he brings Joseph to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh shares this dream with Joseph. And Joseph says, oh, I know exactly what that dream means. He said, the dream means you're about to experience 7 years of bounty. Great crops, great weather, everything's going to be fine. But behind those 7 years, there are coming 7 years of famine. Hard times. So here's what you need to do, Pharaoh. While you have these times of plenty and bountifulness, you need to set aside 20% and store it. Because when the bad times come and the famine comes, you will have grain to sell so that the people can continue to eat. And Pharaoh said, whoa, what a plan. I like that. Man, who can I get to manage this program so that we can prepare for these bad times? He looks around, he said, well, hey, you interpreted the dream. Why don't you manage it? And so he put Joseph in charge of the whole nation, and he saw some things in Joseph that he really liked. And he went to Joseph. He said, Joseph, all of Egypt listens to you. He said, you've got everything at your disposal except my throne. Go after it, boy. Knock yourself out. And Joseph becomes a ruler in Egypt with nobody of more authority than him than Pharaoh himself. And so here you can see that even though he experienced disappointment, God still allowed this man to rise to the top.
Amen.
And we've often said it, he went from the pit to prison to the palace. But what we need to know is what he did in the interim. He did not allow disappointments, pain, heartache, to derail his dream. That's what Satan is after, your dreams. But you've got to understand how to overcome disappointment. Here's one thing you need to remember today. Never quit. Never give up. I don't care what's happened to you. That does not mean that God's dream for you has been negated. All it means is now you've got to trust Him to help you navigate through this thing. Are you with me?
Amen.
I've been there. I've experienced pain like few people have. But I did not allow that pain to kill me. You with me?
Amen.
I didn't allow it to crush me. I made a decision. I would not be depressed. I realized that I still had a dream. And God still has a purpose for my life.
Amen.
See, if you're not careful, you get into these mental games. That's where Satan wants to keep you, in the arena of the mind.
That's right. Amen.
You end up in the pit, and you try to figure out, well, what did I do wrong? Maybe I didn't manage my relationships with my brothers right. Well, maybe, you know, maybe if I'd done this, maybe if I'd done that. See, and then the enemy will sit on your shoulder and say, yeah, you deserve to be in the pit, you know, and then you get comfortable with it, or you get comfortable in the prison, or you get comfortable wherever you may be, but you never allow yourself to progress and go forward. Here's another thing you need to remember. Hey, bad stuff happens. Get over it. That's a simple way to say it. Get over it. You with me? Oh, but Pastor Bill, what about that? You can't change it. Forget about it. Are you with me? Well, what is the Lord trying to say to me through this? He's trying to say, wake up and move on. Wake up and move on. And that's why many people fail. Because they never move forward. Now, here's something that I shared. And keep this in its context. You know, when Moses died, it was such a shock to the children of Israel. I mean, the dude was 120 years old. You know? And God buried him. And so you've got all of the children of Israel, and the Lord took Moses, showed him the promised land. Moses died. God had his funeral, private ceremony, didn't invite anybody. And so he went back, Joshua and the leaders told Israel, Moses is dead. And so he gave them 30 days to mourn. 30 days. And he said, on day 31, get up, pack your bags, let's move. Now, have you ever asked yourself why nobody to this day knows where Moses is buried? You know why nobody knows? Because God knows the human condition. And had they known where he was buried, they'd still be there today. They would have never entered into his promise because they'd have camped out at Moses' tomb. And many of you have camped out. It may not be at somebody's tomb, but it may be a place where you've been hurt or a place where you've been wounded. You've experienced pain. You've been unwilling to forgive. And you're stuck. Well, you need to get unstuck. God's not finished with you yet. He's got something for you to do. Amen? Now, I realized, you know, when I suffered loss several years ago, I made a decision to go forward. Well, how come this happened? I don't know. I don't know everything. I don't. But the things that I do know, I practice. I'm not concerned with what I don't know. I don't lay awake at night trying to figure it out. It happened. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm moving on. And some people didn't like the fact that I moved on. Tough stuff. You can camp out if you want to. I'm going forward. Amen? We've got to find a way to get over disappointment, to not allow loss to bury us, and don't allow pain to hold you captive. You've got to be able to forgive, move forward, and live your life. Amen? Forgive, move forward, and live your life. I remember I went to a psychologist. Now, you need to do some practical things. I took my daughter Sarah to grief counseling. I wanted to make sure she was okay because it was tough. It was tough on her, tough on me, tough on our whole family, tough on the church. And I remember going to the grief counselor, and I would take Sarah there every week. And the grief counselor was looking at me, and she said, "Mr. Young, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing just fine." So I'm concerned about my daughter. Okay, she said, "You sure you're okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm cool. I'm good." Now that's her profession. She didn't understand that. People that I work with and people that I know, we're all watching me. You know what they're waiting for me to do? Explode or implode. Well, neither one of them happened. Neither one of them will ever happen.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
Because I know I've got to move forward.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And thank God for good, faithful people to help me do that. But many times you just got to let go. Move on. You know, when I started seeing my wife and we started dating, I said, you know, when the biggest fear of a man who's dating a woman who's been divorced is that guy number two is going to have to pay for the sins of guy number one. She said, "That's not an issue with me. I forgave him a long time ago." I said, "Praise the Lord." Yeah. She's free. Don't have to deal with that stuff. I'm free. Don't have to deal with that stuff. So we decided to move forward. Now, listen. I know many of us, at times, we suffer loss. And here's the thing. You have to be able to help people get through tough times. And if there's anything that God has anointed you guys to do, and you ladies, it's to help people that you know. Part of God's purpose for your life is to help them navigate through life. Life is hard. Life can be tough. Life can be full of disappointments and heartache and pain. How do you help people get through? You can tell them, "Well, you need to go to church." "Yeah, that's nice, but there's more." You need to be a friend. You need to minister to them with compassion. They need to see victory in you. They need to see victory in you.
That's right. Amen.
I heard a guy say one time, he said, look, I got enough trouble in my life. I don't need what you got too. You know, you say you love Jesus and you're all jacked up. I got enough trouble. Amen? But if we can allow the life and nature of God to flow through us and never give up on our dream, we can be a light to those around us. Because life is tough. I'm telling you. And so now, unfortunately, I find myself in the unenviable position of ministering to people who are grieving, who've lost a loved one. That's okay. I can help you with that. If you listen and you're willing to move forward. Amen? And I've had people, you know, look me in the eye and said, you know, my husband died, or my wife died, my mother died, my father died, my child died. And I look at them and smile and say, I can help you with that. It's not the end. Your life's not over. You with me? Well, I was diagnosed with a disease. That's okay. Jesus is still the healer. Your life's not over. Oh, I've been so disappointed. This person hurt me way back when. Well, I can help you with that. If you'll forgive, God will take you to the palace. If you don't, you can stay in the pit. Your choice. Your choice. See, faith is nothing more than a series of decisions that we make every day. And in life, you are confronted with decisions daily. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? Are you going to follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises? Or are you going to do your own thing? Well, I got news for you. Doing your own thing doesn't work too well. Amen. Doesn't work too well. In spite of all of the disappointments that came Joseph's way, in spite of all of the people who hurt him and forgot him, he never, ever gave up. He kept doing the word. God kept prospering him. And he rose to a level of prominence in Egypt. See, God will take those bad situations and turn them around for you if you'll do the right thing. If you'll do the right thing, he'll turn it around. You know, there's that passage in Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. We got to keep that in its context. All things do not always work for good. I've known people who've experienced heartache and loss and they went down the tubes. They spent the rest of their life angry, hurt, and bitter. Never achieved the potential that God placed in them. And they die an angry, bitter person, having never fulfilled God's purpose in their life. They got stuck. Don't allow yourself to get stuck. You say, well, you don't understand, Pastor Bill, he walked out on me. Well, if he walked out on you, maybe he wasn't the right one for you. God's got something better for you. You with me? Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor Bill, how they hurt me. Well, I tell you what, Jesus will heal the hurt if you'll trust him. But we can't get stuck. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Don't care. Don't get stuck. Learn how to forgive. Learn how to move on. And so the story progresses. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 45 and we'll finish here. Genesis chapter 45. Years go by, and now they're in the second year of famine. Things are tough where Joseph's father and brothers are. And so they heard that there was food in Egypt. And so some of the brothers made their way to Egypt, and Joseph saw them. And so he told them, look, here's what I want you to do. I'll give you grain and things, but I want you to go back and bring your little brother. See, his little brother, Benjamin, he had a soft spot in his heart for Benjamin because Benjamin was also Rachel's son. The other men were his half-brothers. This is his full brother. Rachel died in childbirth, giving birth to Benjamin. And so he was special to his father, Jacob. He said, I want you to go bring your brother. And what he did, they came and brought money to pay for the grain and food. He had his employees stick it back in their sack. He wouldn't even take their money. And so they left and came back. And Jacob was so heartbroken over what happened to Joseph, he didn't want to let Benjamin go. And so, you know, they forgot about it for a while. They lived off the grain, lived off the provision. And then when times got lean again, they realized, we got to go back to Egypt. And he said, don't you come back here unless you bring your brother. So finally, the story progresses. And he does come back with his brother. And so Joseph disguises himself. They don't know who he is. And actually has them come and have a meal at his home and has a nice banquet. And he reveals himself to his brothers. And they were scared spitless. Are you with me? Why were they scared? They were guilty because of what they'd done to him years before. And they thought he was going to exact revenge. That's something a Christian should never do. Revenge is never a Christian principle. You with me? The Bible says vengeance belongs to God.
Amen.
You forgive, let God take care of it.
That's right.
I've seen Him pay people back. And it's not good. You with me? Jesus said at one time, He said, woe! He said, it is needful that offenses will come, but woe to him by whom that offense comes. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the sea. Very bad position to put yourself in.
That's right. Amen.
You need to be careful how you treat people.
Amen.
Amen. There's an old expression, you will reap what you sow. Just make sure you're sowing good things in the lives of other people. You will reap what you sow. Genesis chapter 45. Verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brothers couldn't answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They were scared. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are five to come. And God has sent me before you to preserve you, a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Listen, I don't care what the enemy throws your way. I don't care what disappointment you may have experienced. God will use it for your benefit. If you will keep doing the word.
Amen.
And if you won't quit. He will turn that thing around and you will look back and say, look what the Lord has done.
Amen.
Look what the Lord has done. And I can testify to that. Valerie and I have talked. And you know, she'd come to MGCC for like 8 years. And nobody dreamed we'd be married today. That was the last thing in our mind. But you know, when I started seeing her, I found out we had the same pastor. The same pastor that I had when I was a Bible college student in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She had in Los Angeles, California. You know, for a lot of time, we were doing the same thing. Now, how does that work out? I don't know. God will turn it around if you'll trust Him.
Amen.
He will. And you'll look back at it
and
you'll try to figure it out and you'll never be able to figure it out. Just know this, that God will turn it around and turn it for your good. And He'll bless other people in the process. But what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. God sent Joseph to Egypt to save his brothers' lives. When they sold him into slavery, they had no idea. But years later, when they came back to Egypt to look for food, they ended up fulfilling the dream that Joseph had when he was 17 years old.
Amen.
They came and bowed themselves before him because God had elevated him to a position of prominence because he never gave up and he stayed faithful and consistent with doing what he knew to do.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. So my message to you is this. Don't quit.
Amen.
Don't give up. You may have experienced disappointment. You may have experienced loss. I've got good news for you. God's not finished with you yet.
Amen.
He's still got a purpose for your life. He's still got a plan for you. But you cannot allow yourself to get stuck.
Amen.
You've got to move forward.
Amen.
You've got to fulfill the dream.
Amen?
Amen? Don't get stuck in a rut. I had a man say to me years ago, "Do you know what a rut is?" I said, "Nope." He said, "It's a grave with the ends kicked out." Don't get stuck there. Time to get up and move on. Amen?
Amen.
And if you have, you know, hey, stuff hurts. That's all right. The Lord will heal it.
Amen.
The Lord will heal it if you'll trust Him.
Amen.
Did you learn anything today?
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I just want to pray a general prayer.